Welcome to The Right You, where we teach you a little Texas law and provide hints for navigating the Texas legal system in the process, all sponsored by The Right Firm. So get ready to start your legal education.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of The Right You, where we at The Right You try to provide you with a little education on the Texas legal system and help you as you wind your way through the Texas court system. And on this, the 10th episode of The Right You, sponsored by The Right Firm. And my name is Patrick Wright. In this edition, we hope to provide you with information regarding a subject that, frankly, I feel like that a lot of lawyers tend to neglect. You know, when you're in a divorce case and, you know, maybe you go to mediation, you know, and you settle your case, which is fantastic, and, you know, about 95% of cases they go to mediation actually settle, or even if you go to trial and you go try the case, well, a lot of people sort of have the view that it's over. And, you know, it couldn't be further from the truth. So what we're going to talk about in this edition is that things that you should be concerned about if you're going through a divorce matter when the case is over, under the topic of it's not over until it's really over. And one of the things that that you should get from your lawyer at the end of the case is they should send you a closing letter. And that letter will essentially detail out that the matter is concluded, and basically provide some pointers. And some of the things that we like to point out to individuals is that, first off, it's important to recognize that you have your divorce decree, which is the final court order, which contains all the information as far as what you've agreed to. But then, you know, a lot of times you need to understand that that if you have a will, that's not really affected or changed by the divorce decree. So what you need to do is you need to update that will. Now, and if you don't have a will, then you definitely need one, because you don't want the state of Texas telling you, you know, how your assets should be divided up upon your death. And, you know, my suggestion is that, you know, in our firm, Paul Wright, who's my law partner, is just an excellent resource for you to talk to you about your probate matters and updating your wills. And, you know, Paul's also a certified public accountant, so he can talk to you about tax issues. So, you know, one of the things that you're looking at, if you haven't updated your will, I suggest that you, you know, give Paul a call at our office, and he'll be happy to talk to you about it. The next thing is that you'll need to notify your various life insurance companies regarding any changes of beneficiaries that you might desire to make. And you need to understand that, you know, with this, that the need or desire to change beneficiaries in the event of your death is applicable to any death benefits that you might receive. So remember that there is also a designation of death benefits in connection with retirement plans as well. So, you know, make sure those life insurance designations, the retirement plan designations, you need to be very careful about that. Because if you were to die prior to completing a change of beneficiary on a retirement plan, for example, whether or not it is divided as it's set forth in a qualified domestic relations order, you know, under federal law and according to the U.S. Supreme Court, your former spouse remains eligible to receive all of the funds from your retirement account. And that's if you don't change your beneficiary designation. So you need to, because a lot of people think, oh, you know, I've got my, the divorce decree would control, but it really doesn't. So you need to make sure that you get that changed as far as your beneficiary designations, and, you know, immediate attention to get that stuff corrected is extremely important. You also would probably need to check and notify your automobile insurance agent if you haven't done so, in order that the coverage on your automobile may be changed to reflect your changing marital status. Because your automobile insurance may be carried under a family policy, which should be, you know, when your divorce case goes through, be converted now to an individual policy. And then some insurance companies define family as persons living in the same residence. So the problem is, if you attempt to retain family coverage on automobiles when in fact you are no longer a family, I mean, you could be denied coverage. So that's something that you need to check on. You'd also need to notify a property insurance agent of any change of ownership of property which was divided in your divorce. And the insurance carrier would need to know, you know, who the new owner of the property is, and will probably require notification be made within a certain time period after the change of ownership has taken place. You know, there was once a case in Texas where a couple got divorced. The wife got the house, and the insurance company was notified of a change of ownership from husband and wife, solely to the wife. Thereafter, the house was destroyed by fire, and because the policy notification required notification of change of ownerships, and there was no notice given, the insurance company denied coverage. Certainly, you wouldn't want to find yourself in that situation. And the actual court upheld the denial of coverage. And so there again, that should be yet another reason why you should want to contact the insurance carriers in order to get that changed. If you're awarded real property, such as a house, you should also contact the mortgage lender and the companies providing utilities for the property and advise them of the ownership change. You know, and what I see occasionally is that people won't actually make sure their deeds are filed. If they're awarded a piece of property, you know, make sure you get the deed filed on it, because, you know, you don't want to have a situation where years down the road, you know, maybe it wasn't filed and you're trying to sell the house or have a change made, and then, you know, you may not be able to sell it because there may be an impediment on selling it because, you know, it's not in your name. So that, and occasionally I see that in my practice where someone will come in and they'll say a problem, it'll be a problem, we'll try to, you know, figure out how to correct that for them. But it's just easier if you make sure that the actual deed is filed at the point in time period of the divorce. Now, if you your ex-spouse was awarded the real property and you have what's called a deed of trust to secure assumption, or an ulti lien on the real property, which is essentially a lien that, that sometimes you see when someone's awarded a monetary amount to equalize the division, you also should provide notice of your current mailing address to the mortgage lender by certified mail, return receipt requested, and you should also request that lender notify you if there's any defaults on the property, because, you know, occasionally what will happen is the property will be awarded to your ex-spouse, or soon-to-be ex-spouse, and then they won't make a payment, but you'll never know the payment hasn't been made, your name's on the note. And, you know, as I said, if you'll listen to or if you have listened to our section on credit, you know, if your name's still on that note, you're still liable and it can affect your credit. And, you know, and I probably suggest if you haven't listened to our podcast on credit, you may want to go back and look at it, because it's pretty helpful as far as talking about credit issues. If on taxes that you were to get the dependency exemption, you need to make sure that you basically get the forms necessary for that. And then also you should contact your bank, investment companies, credit card companies, and make sure that the other spouse's name is removed. Now, if there is COBRA language in the decree, and you'll note that that specifically deals with your health insurance, note that if you're intending to exercise your right of COBRA to keep insurance for yourself on your spouse's insurance plan, that you must notify the carrier within 15 days of the date of divorce in writing, even if your divorce decree specifically orders your spouse to notify the carrier of your intent to exercise your rights under the COBRA provisions. It's pretty important. You want to make sure that you do that. And then also, if there are stock options in the decree maybe you're awarded some stock options. Please be aware that the stock options you're awarded have expiration dates on them, on your ability to exercise these options. And so basically you need to make sure that you read the stock option agreement provided to you, and that if your former spouse terminates employment, the options may expire at an earlier date. So you need to basically look at that. If your name was changed as part of the divorce, you basically should look at it as far as notifying the IRS of the change so they can have that. To accomplish the notification, you can file Form 8822 with the IRS Service Center where you file your tax return. I would say that you might want to check out the website, www.irs.ustrez.gov, and that's www.irs.ustrez.gov. There's numerous forms on there which are good forms that you can use if you're trying to figure out other things you might need for taxes. As far as, child support, if you are the payer of child support, if you have kids, that is paid through a wage withholding order, you understand that if at any time if your withholding order is insufficient to meet the child support amount, you're still required to make up the difference. So it's not your employer's responsibility to make sure that the entire child support obligation is met. And if you are the person who's responsible to pay, you need to make sure your payments are exactly as stated in the order. Most child support payments now in Texas would be paid to the Texas Child Support Disbursement Unit. And so basically, you just need to make sure that that account's set up. Occasionally, I'll see people don't have that account set up, and of course, we highly advise you pay through it. But if you need to contact the Texas State Disbursement Unit, you could actually reach them at 1-800-252-8014. And then you can check their website at www.childsupport.oag.state.texas.us for tracking payments. Next I would probably say that if you have kids, that you're dealing with, possession and access, period. And you need to remember that, that the Thursday time periods are during the regular school term, which means that the Thursday time periods don't occur during the summer. And occasionally I see people who, get confused with that. And please make sure that you read your decree carefully as far as summer visitation notices, because if you don't, notify someone of your summer access, you could lose valuable summer visitation. And I'll tell you that have been, people who, have tried to notify us of summer access or summer visitation, and they haven't made the proper notice provisions as far as that summer access, and they were actually denied that they lost their time. So you need to make sure you look at your decrees as far as that that notice time period. Now, let's just say that you were also, let's say that you were awarded, a monetary judgment of any kind. You need to have the judgment abstracted by the county clerk, which essentially is put in the record. And then after the judgment is abstracted, you can file a judgment in any county in which you believe the person, owing the judgment has real property. And this could entitle you to be paid on your judgment if the party attempts to sell a real property in that county. And also, if there's notice provisions in your decree and you're going to send any future correspondence to the opposing party, we suggest that you send it both regular and first class and also certified mail, return receipt requested, and keep the receipt for your records. And also be advised, and I see this too occasionally, which is, you know, if you're awarded a piece of property or an item in a decree and you're not in possession of the item, you have to bring suit within 2 years of the date decree a divorce is entered or a statute of limitations will run, and you won't be able to come after the person to get that property item. So it's kind of important for you to look at that. In addition, I would tell you that in the future, if you are thinking about remarrying, you might want to consider a prenuptial agreement, because a prenuptial agreement allows you to make agreements regarding your separate estate and community estate to protect assets or income from assets and your income from becoming community property if you marry again. And, you know, also, most people, what we do in our practice is we will keep your file for a certain time period. You know, normally sometimes people say keep your records for 7 years. I will tell you that, I've had cases recently where, people will call the bank and try to get the records and they don't have any, or they've not kept them, in a format that's readily accessible, or they're only keeping so many years back. So you need to make sure that, any things like child support payments, payments on any judgments that you've made, any sort of agreements that have been reached between y'all in the future, if it's in writing, you need to save it. I normally tell my clients on custody issues, there's some calendars out there online that can track your access and visitation time. You know, a real cheap way to do it is just go to the go get a calendar like you used to see, or keep one online, and then jot down your days of visitation, jot down if anybody ever gave up their time or gave you more time, or what activities you participated in with your kids, so you can keep track of, how active you are, what type of time of possession you've had. And then, keep a copy of your decree. Occasionally, people will call and they'll ask us for a copy of the decree. You need to understand that, you can go to the courthouse and you can get a copy of your decree if you were to need that. It's on file, it's public record, assuming that the file hasn't been sealed for some purpose. And you can get a copy of that record should you need one in the future. Also, if you were to change your address, you need to understand that there is a provision, typically in most decrees, that require that you give notice to the court, notice to the other party. And most counties have a form that you can turn in that's a change of address. And so you need to make sure you look at your decree on that carefully. Just on the regular, like I said before, notice time periods, you need to be very careful that you give, notice time period. Sometimes there's provisions saying that if you're not going to exercise possession of a child, that you have to notify the other parent. And there may be some provisions if the child's requiring some medical attention that you provide notice to. So you need to check that to be sure. So I know that we've sort of hit a lot of things here as far as things to be careful of, but it's just sort of to help you realize that when your case really isn't over until it's over. And, lastly, I'll say this. If you look at your decree and you determine maybe that you've, left something out, you need to understand that you've got 30 days from the date that that order was signed by the court in order to file a motion for new trial or to try to get it reconsidered, absent some fraud grounds or some other grounds. If you need to make sure that number one, read it before it's entered. Number two, never really sign anything that's going to be entered unless you understand it and have asked your lawyer questions of it. And the second thing, if there is something that has gone awry, then, you've got 30 days in order to try to get it done. Now, I will say that on retirement accounts, that there's a qualified domestic relations order, which is a separate order that's used to divest the funds from, like, for example, a 401k, and that's a separate order that would need to be entered as well. And so the court still retains jurisdiction in order to get that entered, but But, you know, you need to make sure that that does get entered in a timely fashion, because you won't get your money from that account unless that's done. But there again, like I said, just a few things that are provided to you to sort of let you realize that it's not over when you think it's over. It's really only over when you get the, you know, child support that you're supposed to get the property that you were awarded, that ends up in your hands, and that you get the life insurance and other personal property items that were awarded to you in the decree. So I hope it's been helpful. If you have any questions on a decree of yours, or you're not sure, you haven't got it, maybe you're not sure how it would be enforced, feel free to give me a call or drop me a line at patrick@therightlawyers.com. That's patrick@therightlawyers.com. Thank you for listening to us on The Right You, as always, and we hope that this podcast has been helpful and has provided you with some additional things maybe that you haven't thought about as far as closing out your case and getting that file closed as much as you can. Join us again on our next podcast. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to us on The Right View. If you'd like to reach us, you may call us at 972-353-4600 or check us out on the web, therightlawyers.com.